under the mighty hand of God, and that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Aren't you glad for verse 7? Isn't that a great verse? I think we should all read it together, don't you? Let's say it together. Verse 7, let's begin. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Basically, that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Giving God our anxieties, our cares. You know what he promises he'll do if we do that? He promises he'll encourage us. And I think we'll see that tonight. Let's have prayer together one more time, and we'll get into this. Father, we pray for your blessings tonight. We pray for your encouragement. Lord, surely we sure do need to hear from you. We sure do need your encouragement. So we pray, Father, please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need. And we'll give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, and amen. I remember when I was in college, it was really challenging for me. I, you know, always had a hard time in school when I was young, struggled through a lot of my classes. And when I was in high school, I did a lot better. Matter of fact, I had a GPA of 3.5 through my high school years, which was, for me, outstanding, just really high for me. Through my elementary and junior high years, my grades weren't that great. You know, sports pretty much pulled me through, if you know what I mean. Public school, you know, they have a way of helping the athletes. So anyway, I remember in Bible college, you know, just kind of struggling with things and found encouragement a lot along the way, just in the chapel services, you know, just being a part of the college where I went there at Heartland. It was so amazing. It took my walk with God, which was, you know, really non-existent when I went. I loved God, but I didn't have a genuine walk with him, my personal walk. It was basically not there. I didn't read my Bible. I didn't have any prayer time. And going to school there, I mean, it was like every class, it was hearing a sermon, you know. I mean, you're in there hearing a lecture, but really you're hearing a sermon every hour. Every time you're in class, you're hearing preaching over and over and over. And God used that in those 4 years to transform me into something that I wasn't when I got there. And really built inside of me a servant heart, which is what I wanted and what I knew God wanted in my life. Getting out of college, I worked in the ministry for my first year there in Oklahoma, and I did a lot of cleaning. So my first year as a staff guy out of college was pretty much made up of cleaning. You know, I was doing a lot of cleaning. And that's okay. Brother Chad maybe can relate some with that. Cleaning, what did I clean? I cleaned everything. I mean, I vacuumed, I cleaned the pews, I cleaned the windows, I cleaned stuff that probably doesn't need to be cleaned. If you knew who it was that I was working for and how OCD he was, then you would know, man, why are we cleaning that? It's just because it bothers him because he knows it's dirty, even though the whole world is never going to see it, you know. So I spent a lot of time doing that. I cleaned, one thing I remember doing is cleaning the vans. We had a couple vans, and man, I polished them vans inside and out. I mean, the inside was sparkling, and the outside was sparkling. It was almost always that way. You know, I just really enjoyed being in the ministry. That first year was tough at times. There were certain things that I went through that was, you know, challenging. But one thing I know is that God helped me to become, through my college years, and in particularly in that first year in the ministry, to be what he wanted me to be, and that's a servant. But how do you think that happens? How do you think God makes servants? It requires humility. If you want to be a servant, you got to be humbled. There's no servants that aren't humble. And God wants us to be his servant. He's our master. And we should be his servants because he's our master. We should look for ways to serve God. We should look for more things that we could do for him. There should be this should be a mindset that we carry in our life, a mindset that we are going to be a servant for God, God's servant. And that, what I mean by that is that everything that we do should flow through the mindset is, what can I do for God? That we would be a servant. Now, if this is going to be your mindset, that you're a servant, then it has to be what characterizes the condition of your heart. You have to have a servant heart if you're going to be a servant. And if you're going to have a servant mindset, then you have to have a servant heart. Because everything flows through your heart. I mean, the condition of your heart is incredibly important. Everything that we do in our life really should be stamped with, everywhere we go, everything we're involved with, everything we do should be stamped with that we're a servant. I remember the first time I met Brother Chad, it was at Men's Recharge. Remember that? And he was one of the bathroom cleaners. And, you know, the college guys gave him a free pass to come to the Recharge if they would help us to clean the bathrooms. He took in on that. Free, hey man, I get to be a part of the charge, and all I have to do is clean the bathrooms. You know, this would be okay, which was a big enough task with 400 men. And we're talking about men. So anyway, thankful for Brother Chad. We gave shirts. Remember all the shirts we gave out? What did they have on the back? Big word, it said servant on it. You know? So if you're walking around, you have the shirt on, you're supposed to be a servant. That means if somebody comes up to you and they say, hey, can you help me out? You're not supposed to say, no, figure it out yourself. We're not supposed to say that. Depending on which grocery store or, you know, supermarket you're at, you might find an employee that basically would have that attitude. But that's not what characterizes the heart of a servant. Matthew 6:24 says this. Listen to what it says. No man can serve two masters, or either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So we're talking about being a servant, and you can't be a servant of two masters. So if you're going to be a servant of God, you can't also be a servant of something else. Now let's get the context of that Matthew 6. I'm going to use it as an illustration here. We have to know what he's talking about. Two masters. So we can probably understand that one of those masters is God. What's the other master he's talking about? In chapter 6, verse 19, he says this, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your what? Your heart be also. And so what determines who you serve, whether it be in this text, God or money, God or your finances, it's the condition of your what? It's your heart. In that text, it's talking about your finances. And so how you handle your finances tells how you, or really what the true condition of your heart is. What you're spending your money on, that's where your heart is. I mean, that's what it says. But the condition of your heart determines who you will serve. He's saying that too. So where your heart is, that's what you're going to serve. See, our problem, I think, many times is that we get burdened with stuff. And the burdens in our life weigh so heavy on us that it distracts us from serving God. And we get focused on other things. Burdens. Or discouragement. Because, you know, that's a real reality in the life of Christians, possibly some of you that are tonight, dealing with this thing of being discouraged about things and overwhelmed. And being overwhelmed with discouragement has a tendency to drive us away from serving God. Discouraged about illness, discouraged about family problems, discouraged about finances. I was a little discouraged today when I dumped coffee on my laptop. I flipped it over really fast. Man, was I nervous that God's blessings, anointing blessings, was on this thing and it didn't fry. It was okay. Hallelujah. Man, was I nervous. I was a little bit distracted by that. And you know, that's what discouragement, struggles, trials, problems that come into our life, they have a way of distracting our service to God. And what I mean to tell you is, I was trying to serve God. I was trying to study. I was trying to focus. And when that happened, it distracted me. And And on a small scale, you know, we're talking about just a day of studies. On a large scale, when we live lives of discouragement, and when we live lives of this type of distraction, it keeps us from serving God like God wants us to serve Him. And I want you to know, our church life, our church experience, our church existence, you know, your involvement with church should be characterized by service to God. Service to God. I'm glad you're here tonight. I was thinking about our Thursday night crowd. Hey, you three guys right up here, you guys need to quiet it down a little bit, okay? I can hear you. You're distracting me. So let's quiet it down. Just all you need to do is quieter. Thank you. I was thinking about the Thursday night crowd, and I'm so thankful, you know, for your faithfulness. However, I was thinking, how can we stimulate some growth in our Thursday night crowd, you know? And I have a tendency to want to, you know, create some sort of a scheme to stimulate growth. And in the end, that's not really what stimulates growth. It's not the workings of man. God said He'll build the church. So we have to be faithful to do what He wants us to do and watch Him do what He said He can only do. So what is it He wants me to do? Serve Him. Be a servant. Be the servant that He wants me to be. Do the things that He wants me to do. Serve God with all of my heart. Boy, you should mark that. It's our theme tonight. Serve God with all of your heart. And that's precisely what Peter is exhorting the church to do. And that's exactly why he is exhorting them in the way of humility. We said it earlier, if you want to be a servant, you have to be humble. Because there's no servants that aren't humble. There's no servants that are full of pride, right? And so he's exhorting the church, and God is exhorting us, that we would humble ourselves, that we would be the servants God wants us to be. It requires humility. And this is kind of a constant theme really through the whole book of 1 Peter, isn't it? He's encouraging the church. He's encouraging them to be servants. It's a constant theme. He says in chapter 2, verse 13, this is a little bit of review, but let's take a look at it anyway. Chapter 2, verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Submit yourself is placing yourself under the authority of men, of the government, of police officers, soldiers, or whoever it is that would be an authority from a governmental level. Verse 18 of the same chapter, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. So now servants or employees being subject or, you know, placing yourself under the authority of your masters. Chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Verse number 5 of our chapter, go back to chapter 5, look at verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Submit yourself to the pastor. Verse 5, he goes on, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. And so we need to decide that we will humble ourselves, that we will submit, that we will be the servants that God wants us to be, which is what he means when he says, clothed with humility, putting on the apron of a slave. That's what it means to be clothed with humility. We have to choose to do that. We have to decide to clothe ourselves with humility. Verse 5 really gives us a good motive too. Look at the last part of verse 5. Well, why should I do this, Pastor? Well, God, the Bible says God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. That's a pretty good motive, wouldn't you say? That we would decide that we are going to humble ourselves and be the servant that God wants us to be. Because God will resist you. He'll oppose you if you will not humble yourself. What does that mean, Pastor? It means we need to agree with God about the condition of our life. We need to humble ourselves under the authority of God so when God points things out to us that we would put ourselves under His authority and say, yes, sir, you're my master. You're my God. I will allow you to be my authority and tell me what's right and wrong. I won't be the one who decides what's right and wrong. He will be the one who decides what's right and wrong. Did you know that truth is not relative? Did you hear me? Some of you understand that. Some of you might not. I'll say it again and then I'll explain it. Truth is not relative. That means if God says something is right, it's right for everybody. If God says something is wrong and it's black and white, thou shalt not, it's right and or wrong for everybody. It's not relative for you. Well, it's right for you, but it's not right for me. No, it doesn't work that way. Truth isn't relative. Now, I think that there are some principles that are applied incorrectly. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about our opinion. I'm talking about truth. And God gives us a great motive here. That if we will not bow our hearts in humility to the truth and principle of His Word, then He will resist us. He will oppose us. And that's foolish. I'm going to say it as simply as I can. It's foolish for you to go down a road you know God opposes. We're talking about going against God. And God is going against you. This is a dangerous path. But there's a positive to this as well. He says He resists the proud. It also says He gives grace to the humble. Grace, humble yourself, serve God, be the slave, clothe yourself with humility. And it says He'll pour out His grace on you. He's quoting from Proverbs 3:34. If you're interested in what he's doing here, he's drawing a quote from other portion of Scripture. Let me read that to you. Surely He scorneth the scorners, and He giveth grace unto the lowly, the humble. James also quotes from it. James 4:6 says, but He giveth more grace. Listen now to what he says. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. I like what James says. I went back and I read to gain some context in James. And James really is talking about this war between being obedient to God. Well, that sounds very familiar, being obedient to God or following the way of the world. And we find that whenever we are going against the flesh, what does it have a tendency to be in our life? When you fight your flesh, when you are going against your flesh, that's a hard battle, isn't it? Have you ever tried to tell your flesh, no? I have. I don't win that battle very often. I'm as much as I should on some things. Our flesh is pretty powerful. Do you ever feel like it's so discouraging that you can't get victory over this thing that you just finally, in the end, what do? Just give up, right? That's why James said He giveth more grace in verse number 6 of chapter 4. And then he quoted from Proverbs, like Peter did. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He gives more grace. That means God gives a grace sufficient for you to get over the trials that you're having, the battle that you're having with the flesh. God has given you enough grace. There's more grace to be had than there is of the trial that you're facing. More grace. And God wants to pour His grace out on us. Consider the church Peter is writing to. Can we do that for a minute? I mean, consider this church. What they're going through. Remember when we started off this sermon series through the book of Peter, and we talked about how Nero was just blasting the city and burned, matter of fact, burned the city, and these Christians are being persecuted, and the church is being pole vaulted into a time of severe persecution. So consider what they're going through when he says this. There can be no doubt that they're highly discouraged. There can be no doubt that they are seeing the prospect and really the reality of suffering. The prospect of suffering, but the reality of suffering in their life. And say things like, man, this is heavy. This is a heavy load. I mean, this is a burden. If it was our vernacular, they might say, this stinks. This stinks. Royally stinks. Like my kids sometimes in the morning when their breath hits me in the face. That stinks, you know. I mean to tell you. No, it's far worse than that. It's a burden that's heavy. And they've been tempted now. What are they tempted to do? When we consider the heavy burden, maybe you can relate. Probably we can't relate really with what this church has gone through or is going through at the time Peter's writing them, but we can relate on some level that when we're tempted and tried and the burdens get heavy and the stress gets high and struggles in our life for God gets really hard, what does it tempt us to do? To quiet our testimony, to not serve, to not be servants. Yeah. And so now these Christians likely are quieting their testimony, they're downtrodden, they're ridiculed, they're struggling, they're discouraged, and Peter has asked them to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, what is the mighty hand of God? That's what it says in verse 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God means, it's a term that means God is creator. So the implication is this God, or rather God, is our authority. And so when we humble ourselves, what we're simply doing is placing ourselves under the authority of our Creator. Why would we do that? Because we trust Him. Peter knows these Christians need to be encouraged. That's why he's writing this. That's why the whole book was written. And so he's writing them to encourage them that God will pour out His grace on them, even though they're going through these trials. And God knows that we need to be encouraged as well. And God is speaking to you and I tonight, and what do you think He's saying? That God will pour His grace out on you if you will do what He's about to say. Number one, if you will serve God with all of your heart. Did you hear that? If you will serve God with all of your heart, the Bible says He will exalt you. What do you think that means in context? Don't you think that means He'll encourage you? He'll lift you up when you're down? Look at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. It implies that you'll need to find out what He wants you to do if you're going to serve Him with all of your heart. If you're going to humble yourselves under His authority, you have to know what He wants you to do. You have to know. Brother Chad and I have had many conversations about how do you know what God wants you to do? You ever wondered that? Well, you know, you're the pastor. You just always know what God wants you to do. You never struggle. Oh, I've had plenty of times of struggling to know because I want to know what God wants me to do. And you might ask, how do you know what God wants you to do? Is it a feeling? Well, I just really feel good about this. I just really feel good about this. Man, I feel good about this. That better not be the reason why you're doing it, because you feel good about it. Because feelings change. So we have to know what God wants us to do, and it needs to be based. Listen, our knowledge of God is based completely upon the Scriptures. Therefore, if you know God wants you to do something, it's because God has planted that in you from His Word, either directly through a commandment or through a principle that's been taught from the Word of God. Now, a feeling follows. Feelings are okay when they're following the Word of God's in direction in your life. When you get a direction and you see it from God's word, whether it be a principle or whether it be a command, then you might say, oh man, I feel good about this and it's okay. But you don't just want to feel good about it and follow that. That's bad. Grant, you need to come over here and sit by Mom. Sorry about that. So we need to know what God wants us to do. How can we be a servant if we don't know what He wants us to do? We can't. You know, I think that's why so many, all the way by Mom, Grant, all the way by Mom. I think that's why so many Christians stay in sort of limbo, you know? They're not really doing much. It's not always because they don't want to do something. It's because they can't identify what God wants them to do. And so then they just sort of don't. And then they do the church, come to church, go to church, do the church, you know, but they're not really doing anything. And I say they as in a general. I'm not just speaking now. I'm not just speaking to us. I'm speaking to many that would be a part of church, right? What does God want me to do? What's the next step? Where is God leading me to go? And, you know, so we have to identify that. If you don't know what God wants you to do next, there's a couple things. You might say, well, man, I really like this, and I want to serve God doing this, and I want to serve God doing that. Well, we can't just start grabbing at things. You know, we have to identify some things. And in the end, we have to know we're doing what God wants us to do. And if you don't know what that is, then you and I need to have a meeting. And I will help you to see the next step. And we'll get you going the direction God wants you to go. I mean to tell you, I want you to have that. Because I don't believe that you can have the kind of blessings in your life, the kind of encouragement that God wants to give you, unless you're serving. Can I say that again? I don't think you can have the kind of life of joy and satisfaction and fulfillment and encouragement. Let me just use that word, encouragement. Encouragement. A life of encouragement. You're not discouraged. You're not down in the dumps, but you're encouraged. Why? Because you're serving. We have to serve. And I don't want to hold you back from serving. I want to help you to serve. This is a simple truth. Be a humble servant, and he will encourage you. He'll exalt you. Yeah. Exalt, lift up. But you have to give him your heart, don't you? You can find encouragement. Isn't that an exciting thought? That we can find encouragement by serving? I think that's an exciting thought. I think these verses also imply that if you're living in discouragement, can I say this? And I need everybody's attention on this. I think this implies that if you're living in discouragement, that you're probably not serving. Amen? So evaluate your own heart. If you're discouraged, are you not serving? Are you in sin? Sometimes our service can be outward. Oh, I serve God. I'm the pastor. I preach the sermon, but I'm discouraged because my heart isn't right. Now we come back to what we said in the beginning. Service comes from your heart. It's not what you do. It's what you do and where it comes from. I mean, it has to come from a heart right with God, because it's not a sort of a religious action, is it? It has to come from our heart. And we will live in discouragement if we do not have a heart that's right with God and we're not serving God with all of our heart. Number two. If you will serve God with all of your heart, I love this, he will remove your discouragement. Just like the other side, right? If you serve God with all of your heart, he will give you encouragement. And if you serve God with all of your heart, he will remove your discouragement, because you can cast all your cares on him. That's what he says, verse 7. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The word casteth means to throw upon. Care means anxiety or painful uneasiness of mind. So it's a mindset, you know, that hinders us. Literally, he wants you to remove your worry. He wants to take your stress, and he wants you to throw it on him as if you're throwing off a painful, heavy burden. Could you imagine carrying a heavy, heavy burden and being able to release that and cast it off onto Christ? Yeah. Many of us can remember times when we've done that, possibly when you got saved, if you've been saved. Boy, that's a heavy burden. Remember that long walk to the altar or to mom and dad or whoever it is that you talk to about needing to be saved? You know, that's a burden released, isn't it? Our worries, our stress. What worries your mind? What stress are you carrying? I'm curious. You don't have to tell me. I want you to identify it in your life. What stress are you carrying? Why can't you cast that on the Lord? Have you tried? I try to. I get on my knees and I try to cast it on him. Question, are you serving God like you should? Are you a servant? Because when you serve God with all of your heart, he will remove your discouragement. Because you can cast your cares on him. This word casting your cares is like throwing a blanket over a horse or a donkey, like in Luke 19:35, when the disciples threw the blankets over the donkey that Jesus rode in. It's the same word, to cast. And so it's almost like God is saying, just throw your anxieties on him. He'll carry them. Your discontent and discouragement. It's a simple truth tonight. Serve God with all of your heart and he will encourage your burdened heart. Or maybe I could just say it this way. Just serve God and he'll encourage you. Can I give you a few examples of ways you won't find encouragement? You'll never find encouragement in unbelief. There's a testimony of Voltaire, who was an infidel at the most pronounced degree. And he wrote, I wish I had never been born. It's quite a testimony of unbelief. How about in pleasure? Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure as much as anyone did. And he wrote this, the worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone. How about money? Gray Gold, the American millionaire, he had plenty of money. In his dying words, he said this, I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth. Not a position or fame. Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more of his fair share of both of those things. That would be position and fame. He wrote this, youth is a mistake, manhood is a struggle, and old age is a regret. It's not found in military glory because Alexander the Great, who was the greatest conqueror of the known world of his day, having done so, wept in his tent, and then he said, there are no more worlds to conquer. So where is encouragement to be found? Where is encouragement to be found? Joshua 1:7, listen to what it says, and 8. Only be thou strong and very courageous. What's it sound like Joshua is trying to say? Be encouraged, right? That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt find, then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. Did you get that? Then thou shalt find good success. You'll find encouragement in God. You'll find encouragement in serving God. Yeah. Just serve God, he'll encourage you. I hope you're encouraged tonight. I want to encourage you, because of the message tonight, to consider the condition of your heart in relation to being a servant. Okay? And servants isn't always what we do, like whether we play the piano or do the sound booth or clean the, you know, pews or the carpet or wipe the windows. Service isn't always just what we do in that way. It's a mindset. And it should characterize who we are, our value system. That flows every action that we do. That we are a servant of God. That's who we are. And I mean to tell you, if you would be willing to be a humble servant, clothed with humility, humble yourself, then you'll find God encourage you and lift your burdens. Father, tonight we pray your blessings. We pray your encouragement. Strengthen us in our weakness, please. Lord, help us to humble ourselves, that we would see if tonight we're not where we should be, or Lord, I don't know the condition of the heart of your people tonight, but it might be that somebody tonight just needs to hear from you. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us and help us to trust you as you work. We love you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.